The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And a warm welcome to all those who are present here, and a warm welcome to all those joining us online, and a big welcome to Alistair and his friends. Thank you so much for joining us today. As always, your presence is appreciated. Together we will journey in the third Sunday of Lent. We will journey together, encountering God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. Let us begin with the words printed in our bulletin. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will build us up.
After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him.
Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord.
His appearance is sure as the dawn.
I invite all those who can stand to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Most merciful God, we confess
that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us
to hear your word and obey it, and bring your saving love to fruition in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you
invite our children forward. Are you no children today? Welcome, my children. How's your week been? Well, today Jesus gives us a story about a fruit tree and what it's like to own a fruit tree, then to go away for many, many years, and you come back and that fruit tree indeed is not producing any fruit. What are you to do about it?
Pray.
We could pray about it. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Well, we could just cut the whole thing down and start anew. And I know a lot of times in our life, we have that one project that we're trying to do, and it just doesn't work, and we say, let's forget it and start over. But then there's the gardener. And the gardener says, but what if we just put some fertilizer on it, and we care it, and we water it? Then maybe it will grow. And so with the kids here, I wanted to demonstrate how this is possible because we got my soil, and I thought for our coffee hour we could have some fresh vegetables. So I'm going to demonstrate how this works. So you take your seed, you put it in the soil, deep down in the soil, and then you get your water up, you water it. Then we just have to wait for the magic to happen. Any moment. It's gonna work. Okay, what am I missing here, people? It's gonna take a lot of time. It's gonna take some time. You know, sometimes in our lives, we go, this prayer is not working. Going to church is not doing anything for me. Reading scripture doesn't do anything for me. Now, I could also say this water has done nothing to the seed, right? Because at this very moment, it's done nothing for it. But sometimes it just takes time. And God's love is with us, and God is patient and loving. When we return to that source, it might not be automatic, might take some time, but we will produce fruit. Let us pray. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for watering us.
Thank you for watering us.
Amen.
Amen.
Speaking of.
Good morning. A reading from the book of Isaiah, 55th chapter. Hear now the word. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found on page 5 of your bulletin. Please respond with the dark print. O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water.
Therefore I have gazed upon you in your holy place, that I might behold your power and your glory.
For your steadfast love is better than life itself. My lips shall give you praise.
So will I bless you as long as I live, and lift up my hands in your name.
My spirit is content, as with the richest of foods, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips.
When I remember you upon my bed, and meditate on you in the night watches.
For you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings I will rejoice.
My whole being clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast.
A reading from the first letter to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud And all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the end of the ages have come. So, if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overcome you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you shall all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will also perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and he found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, leave it alone for one more year until I dig around it and I put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, it's a challenging text today. And in order to get into kind of the mood of the text, I am proposing a pop quiz by a show of hands, but don't actually do it, people. But if I were to ask for a show of hands and be truthful to yourself, not to anyone else, but if I asked you to raise your hand if in your life something bad has happened and you have then cried out, "Oh God, why me? Why did this bad thing happen? Because I didn't deserve it." And that would be interesting. Maybe all of us. But then if I asked you at the same time to raise your hand if, when that moment, that really good thing happened, did you cry out, "Oh God, why did this good thing happen to me? I don't deserve it." Now I'm guessing that there would have been a discrepancy between those two places. Somehow we feel like we never deserve the bad thing, but when the good things come, somehow we always say, "I deserve the good things." I'm not going to touch that on that much more beyond that, but I just want you to have that circling around in the back of your mind as we turn to what Jesus is saying. And Jesus is confronted by some people with some scenes that come straight out of our newspaper. The government has done something really bad and killed some people, and there's been some sort of natural disaster and has killed some people. That could have been something we read this morning. We know that there are bombs around the world. We know there's tornadoes that have hit recently. Many people have died. And Jesus then confronts the common misconception that existed in the ancient world, but friends, it's still with us today, that somehow bad things only happen to bad people. And so he asks, were they any worse of a sinner? You see, sometimes bad things just happen. There's a random, capricious nature to these. They just happen. And my previous predecessor in this position once said, "I am told we shouldn't be asking the questions for which there is no answer." Sometimes bad things just happen. They happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to us all. And perhaps if Jesus ended it there, it'd be easy to understand. But then he has to, because he's Jesus, always challenge us, says, "Repent, or it will also happen to you." So what is Jesus saying? And to kind of illustrate what I think it means, I am going to, and please forgive me, I'm going to use an example that is far out there. So you just have to, it's not about the example, it's about the principle. But let's think of the surfer in the water for a moment. Now, let it be known that the chances of being bitten by a shark are minuscule. It's less than one person per year in the United States. Minuscule. Millions and millions of surfers. Less than one person per year. Your chance, turns out, of being killed by a deer are 120% greater. And I'm not joking. And I did say deer, that four-legged furry animal that we all love to see. Kills 120 people per year in the United States. Go look it up if you don't believe me. Yes, I'm talking about a killer bamboo. No, I assume all those are in traffic-related accidents, but I don't know. But go look it up yourself. 120. No paper ever written about someone killed by a deer. No news. But if the surfer gets attacked, then that's on the BBC. It's in the paper. Everyone's talking about it for a month. So, is the surfer who gets attacked by a shark a worse sinner than you. No, God forbid. But if the surfer wants to reduce his risk of being bitten by a shark to zero, he should probably get out of the water. That way all he can have to worry about is the deer. Of course, it's not about surfing. You get what this is about, right? Sometimes in life, we also have a sense that we add to that random risk of bad things happening by our own behaviors. And Jesus mentions some Galileans killed by Pilate. And probably what he's referring to is an incident where there was some people in a revolutionary movement against Rome. They most likely were in Jerusalem. They most likely went to the temple to do some kind of sacrifice, and Pilate then had them executed. This is a tactic we know from Pilate. Now, were these people any worse sinners than anybody else? No. They might even be sung as heroes in the local community. But yet, at the same time, if you continue down a road of armed insurrection against Rome, the same might happen to you. And we know in AD 70, the full weight of the Roman Empire fell on Jerusalem. So you see, there's a tension. There's a randomness to the world, a cruel, capricious randomness. And at the same time, our choices can increase the likelihood of a randomly capricious bad thing happening to us. But let's not be confused. The random capriciousness also has a certainty to it. There's a finality to it as well. On Ash Wednesday, we embrace that finality. Sin and death will come for us all. The randomness becomes a certainty. And so while you are imagining all that tension, and all that tension is going on in our text, Jesus then turns to start talking about a fig tree. And in the midst both these stories, we kind of sense the time clock ticking down. And here we have the gardener, and we have the owner of the vineyard, and we have this drama around the fig tree. And it does remind me of when I was working in the prison. And I was reminded the other day that sometimes I forget to add that working part. But either way, the story is still a good story. But most of my time there was either as a supervisor or as a manager. And friends, corrections has like a 50% turnover rate in the first year. So we always, and literally meant always, had new employees. There was always an academy going. I was always given new people to train. And with always having new people, you always had that one person who you could not train. You tried, you tried, you tried. There was no fruit being produced, and you just wanted to cut it down. You'd get all your paperwork forwarded, you'd send it to HR, you'd recommend that that individual be terminated from employment. What I learned to appreciate, even though it was frustrating, I learned that HR had a second chance approach. If you got to that point with somebody, they would not immediately terminate them. They would, however, immediately transfer them to a different supervisor on a different shift. Because maybe, just maybe, The problem was the supervisor. Maybe they could not communicate properly. Maybe things were just not working out in that situation. So maybe all they needed was encouragement, someone to put some fertilization around them, someone to show them what they could be instead of what they were failing at. Give them something to aspire to, and then give them room to grow, to bear fruit. And even though it was frustrating at times, what I learned was in the vast majority of situations, that method changed a problematic employee into a model employee. Because they needed grace. They needed a chance. They needed fertilization. And yes, as I said, the time clock was always ticking. That individual needed to make the decision to repent, even though we didn't call it that. And the time clock of their probation was ticking down. That is always true. But what they really needed was some fertilization. And so to understand our text today, we need to hold both these points in tension. Life is random and cruel in its randomness. God is gracious and merciful. And so maybe the question that we really should wrestle with today, or what the question is we're really asking, or being asked, is not why do bad things happen, but what do we do with when bad things happen? What do we do while we still have time to do things? Because we don't know when the tower will fall or any other event. The only thing we have now is the ever-present now. The only guarantee we have is now. And in this now moment, will we bear fruit? But the good news, friends, is that God is the gardener. God is slow and gracious and loving and tending our hearts with the words of promise, with the sacraments given to us, with water and bread and wine. The body of Christ here to nurture us all. God is loving. The Spirit is here now, calling us forth to be transformed into the image of Christ. And yes, this might take a lot of time, more time than we want, because we always want it now. But God is gracious, slow, humble. And things in life take a slow time. But friends, God is always with us, always in you. That is how our souls get watered and refreshed, fertilized. Is the life of Christ lives in you all. And we all, in this life or the next, will be a tree that produces fruit. Amen.
led by the Spirit, let us turn to God in prayer for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church, called to be a witness to all peoples. Grant humility and wisdom to bishops, pastors, deacons, elders, councils, and congregations, that they may call upon you in making decisions. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
We pray for the earth, called to provide abundantly. Teach your people the goodness of your generosity, that in sharing what we have been given, all life may flourish on the planet that is our shared home. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
We pray for the nations, called to protect their inhabitants and collaborate in the work of justice and peace. Forge bonds of compassion and mutual care across human borders and boundaries, that all the world may have enough to live. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
We pray for those in need, called to receive your compassion. Joe, Fran, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Gary, Dan, Julie, Sandra, Paul, Rhonda, victims of the war around the world and natural disasters. Aid communities in coming together to mourn, heal, and rebuild. May all know they are not alone. And especially for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
We pray for this assembly, called to welcome its neighbors to the table of your grace. Bless food pantries, community gardens and kitchens, clean water projects, and all ministries that address human hunger and thirst. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
We give thanks for the faithful lives of those who proclaimed your gospel in times of challenge and strife, and for all those whose lives of love and service have ended. May their witness inspire our own. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love. In the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life.
Amen. I invite you now to a moment of silent prayer, knowing that the God we pray to is heard in silence as he cries out, "Be still and know that I am God." May this moment of silence, be our prayer to God, as well as our words. Thank you. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Invite us all to stand now and sing our offering hymn.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious provider, you set your immense treasure among us. Open your heart to the world as we prepare to feast on your bountiful love. Deepen our commitment to sharing those treasures with others through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life, and we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love.
Amen, amen, amen.
Gathered together by the Holy Spirit as one, let us pray as our Savior taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people of God, and all the people are welcome to come forward. In a moment, the usher will come, and as you come forward, we ask that you fill in our communion rail from right to left, and you may receive the sacrament either standing or kneeling, whichever is most comfortable for you. Only ask that you come with your hand extended, and the element will be given to you. And then to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to come and only receive a blessing, come with your arms folded. But know this table is open to all, as the love of God is open to all, and all means all, which means all means all. All are welcome. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Generous host, you have shared your feast with us and made us new. Send us now to set tables of love and grace in your community, so that your liberating love might nourish the world into freedom. In the name of the crucified one, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Friends, we just pause for a moment for announcements, and I'm not going to go through the big long list because it's already been kind of a long service, but again, we just want to say a special thank you to Alistair and the crew. It's always a blessing. Wednesdays in Lent, we have multiple things going on, including our 6 o'clock bread and soup with our Holy Evening prayer service at 7. And in the day, we've been meeting in here at 12 for contemplative prayer. You're invited to any and all of that, as well as all the myriad of other events going on. Please pay attention to the words of the week with all the announcements in them. And with that, let us prepare our hearts for the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Take care of others as God takes care of you.
Thanks be to God.